In the world of sales, the cardinal sin is to overpromise and underdeliver. And he says exactly what the House Democrats and news media did regarding the testimony of Robert Mueller before the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees about his report on the 2016 election. True to his word, Mueller did not add or stray from his report. Were there any wins for the Democrats from this past Wednesday? Has the impeachment pill been put back into the bottle? Here to look back at all of this is a former Time magazine reporter who is now a political science professor at St. Peter's University in Jersey City, Professor Alan Sanders. How are you today, Professor?
Very good, Chris. How are you?
Very good to have you back here. stpeters.edu. Learn more about what St. Peter's University offers if you are exploring your further education possibilities. I guess the consensus I've been hearing through various outlets is the book was better than the movie. Would you agree with that?
Well, certainly the book is always more detailed, and many people will tell you the book is always better than the movie. But the movie wasn't as bad as the reviews made it out to be, at least in my opinion. Certainly, the special counsel, Mr. Mueller, was underwhelming in the sense that he looked befuddled and a little lost and not quite operating on sure footing. That certainly was underwhelming, and he didn't provide any great single overwhelming tweetable and social media kind of soundbite. So that's true. That's true. But if you look at the strategy of the Democrats throughout the two hearings, and it's clear they were strategizing, they were asking him a series of questions about the factual elements in his report. And if you put together some of the questions, and I am sure that the Democrats will be looking at that and seeing whether they can exploit that in commercials, campaign commercials down the road, it's a pretty damning picture of the presidency of Donald Trump. So, you know, you had questions like, was the president totally exonerated by the report? Answer, no. Did Russia interfere in the 2016 elections? Yes, systematically. Was the interference aimed to support Donald Trump's election? Yes. And so if the Democrats choose to put together a series of soundbites of that nature, it is pretty damning and quite instructive, to the electorate, certainly to those who have not read the report. So I don't think it's as bad as people made it out to be. But on the other hand, it depends on how the Democrats choose to go forward with this information.
Do you think people were surprised to realize, again, by context clues and his own answers, too, really how little there was direct involvement by Robert Mueller? The rough math, he probably sat in maybe 1% of the 500 interviews, for example. He refused to answer. He deferred to the report over 200 times. It's almost a parallel to the Warren Commission report, where maybe the most hands-on experience then Chief Justice Warren had was when he held a copy and handed it to then-President Johnson.
Well, you know, it's hard to know exactly how much he personally was involved in, but certainly he gave the impression and the appearance that he was not all that familiar with some of the elements in the report. You know, he would answer some of the questions by saying, well, if it's in the report, yes, I agree. Well, that doesn't speak too well about being in command and in control of the information there. So I think a lot of people were very surprised by the fact that he was not meticulously familiar with the report that he had presented to the Congress. So that was a disappointment and at some level, somewhat troubling.
There were two hearings, like I said in the introduction. The Judiciary had the first time at the plate in the morning, then the Intelligence Committee in the afternoon. Did you see anything that would make you think that the members of the Intel Committee were watching that earlier testimony and they took some hints and some context clues to direct what they were going to do?
I suppose so, but I didn't see anything overt. I think if I looked at, I was watching each of the sides and each of the individual members of Congress. They had their playbook, and they shared the questioning in ways that kept it continuous, at least for each side. And so I think they had a plan, and I don't think they were quite derailed or changed by the performance of the morning, at least the members in the afternoon. So I think they both went in with a plan. For the Democrats, of course, it was to hammer at the facts and to try to bring the facts to life. For the Republicans, it was to inquire about the origins of the investigation and also to bring up new side points that they thought would undermine the conclusions.
Which Director Mueller or Chief Counsel Mueller was not going to go into because that ties into other current alive investigations, which he succinctly pointed that out in his testimony. We're talking with Professor Alan Sanders, political science professor at St. Peter's University, stpeters.edu is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Going into Wednesday, it was last Sunday, when Judiciary Chair Nadler pretty much proclaimed that Trump was guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors before the hearing. Did the hearing give Nadler the backup he needed, or did the Democrats use both sessions, the morning and the afternoon, to, in a way, shift off of Trump and put the brighter spotlight now on Russia?
Well, I think certainly that was the aim of the special counsel. He's always been concerned about Russia, and if you want to talk about the difference between the morning and the afternoon, in the afternoon, special counsel Mueller was far more together in his presentation and far more aggressive in pointing out the Russian interference, and he was quite explicit about the need to address that. The members of the Democratic Party were also quite explicit about addressing that, and just yesterday, I believe, the Senate Intelligence Committee, a bipartisan panel, also came out with its report underlying the fact that Russia had indeed interfered in the 2016 election. So that's a major component, and unfortunately it's a component that often has been forgotten in the political debate between the Republicans and the Democrats about whether the president has obstructed justice. Whether he did or didn't, the very fact is true, which of course the president still somehow denies, that the Russians interfered in the election of 2016. And that's a national security problem, a national security danger, and one which, unfortunately, the Congress is not really dealing with in any meaningful way.
Perhaps the most powerful line out of Mueller for the two sessions combined might have been when they were talking about Russian interference. The quote was, "They're doing it as we sit here."
Yeah, that's right. And that should be very worrisome. I think worried a lot of people, certainly Democrats, is that Majority Leader Mitch McConnell seems to be slow walking any kind of legislation that would deal with this in any aggressive and meaningful and systematic way. And I think that should be a great concern to everyone, particularly coming from the Republican Party, a party which used to be quite aggressive in addressing Russian challenges.
Which party had the best opportunity to score a point and missed it?
I think they both missed it in the sense that Mr. Mueller didn't give the soundbite that each one wanted him to give. I suppose that I think that the Republicans had a tougher time of it in the sense that in trying to challenge the findings of Mr. Mueller, they brought in individuals and facts and allegations and conspiracy theories that many Americans are not familiar with. The Democrats, in a sense, had a far, far easier time because the principles that were involved in the report are well known to the public, and the Democrats focused on, yes or no questions, which were easy to answer. So I think their position was more easy to understand. I think the Republican position was harder to understand, except, of course, to their base, which is quite familiar with the allegations that Republicans have made.
Toward the end of the, actually it was the end of the Intel Committee afternoon hearing with Mueller, when the chair, Adam Schiff, listed all the things that Mueller didn't do, and he was implying that the House would now have to do that. But then the next day, Schiff started backing away from impeachment. Is that a context? Who will we see? I think the last number I saw was 94 House Democrats would be in favor of starting impeachment proceedings, far away from being enough to do that. But do you think Schiff is now in the Pelosi court?
Well, I think Schiff is in the Pelosi court, certainly as part of the leadership. He's in the group of Pelosi supporters to the extent that he, like Pelosi, believes that for impeachment to work, there needs to be public support for it. And as of the moment, the feeling is that there isn't enough public support. Certainly there's Democratic support, but there isn't, it doesn't seem to be widespread public support for this to be meaningfully and politically useful to Democrats. So I think the strategy is, let's see how this plays, let's see how it's digested, and the members will have a ample opportunity to find out, because they're now going on a recess, a month-long recess of August, where they will be meeting and talking to their constituents back home. I think the Democratic strategy, and Pelosi has always been playing a long game, it is to see which is the method that assures the removal of Donald Trump. Is it impeachment? Right now, she doesn't believe that's true. There doesn't seem to be public support for that or widespread public support for that. And the Republicans, of course, are stonewalling any impeachment process, both in the House and in the Senate. So the long game is the elections. Is that the better way to get rid of Donald Trump? And I think for now, Pelosi and most of the Democratic leadership believe that the best way to remove this president from office is to defeat him electorally.
He is a political science professor at St. Peter's University in Jersey City, New Jersey. stpeters.edu is their website. Professor Alan Sanders, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure, Chris. You take care.